What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, third hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, week 15, tonight, as we're live from our Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Big hour coming up.
Yeah.
Got a big one for you.
BT, we talked about the Suns, mostly talking about Robert Sarver, their owner, and the fact he wants a renovation. We haven't talked really at all about the Phoenix Suns. And they don't deserve to be talked about.
Why would we? They have four wins.
Because they have four wins, but they do have some interesting talent.
On that team.
They're 4-24, which is horrendous. New head coach and Igor Kakasov. And
What's his name?
Kakasov.
Yeah, he has stamped there 10 times during the break. How do we say his name again?
I think that's right. Even though I think that's wrong, to be honest with you, because I heard someone else say it, and it sounded completely different.
How did we say it?
I said Kakasov, right?
Kakasov.
I don't know. It's too many.
A lot of consonants, not enough vowels.
But
generally, an issue with some of those Russian names.
But you look at the names, right? And
what's his name, Mike? What did he say? Oh, Stanford's just acting like a clown. Now. Sorry, Tiki. Go ahead.
DeAndre Ayton, Josh Jackson. They're going to move Trevor Ariza, Devin Booker, who's been banged up in and out here and there. Why are they so? Are they that? Is it because they're so young that they're bad, or is it? It's just weird.
They should be better than this.
They should be exactly right.
No doubt
they should
it.
Be better than this, given the talent that's on the team. Maybe I don't think it's the coaching. I don't know.
Kokoschkov. Is that it?
I just listened to three different interviews, and I heard multiple varying things, but it seems to kind of fall back in
Kokoschkov's. Kokoschkov.
No, say it again, Mike.
Igor Kokoschkov.
So like K-U, phonetically, K-U-A-T-I-P.
Yeah, so it's K-O-K-O-S-K-O-V, Kokoschkov. So I guess the S is more of a
Kokoschkov. K, spell it again.
Listen,
it
doesn't matter, by the way.
K-O-K-O-S-K-O-V.
Let's start winning some games. You're going to get fired.
Kokoschkov. Whatever.
Kokoschkov.
Yes. But why are they so bad?
Well, you know, it's perplexing because it's not like the Western Cup. Like if the Warriors were 23-2 and the Rockets were like they were last year and it was incredibly top heavy. If there was ever a year to at least show some forward progress, you would think that the early part of this season would be the year.
Agreed.
Given the unpredictable nature of the Western Conference so far.
They were bad last year.
Oh, yeah. That's why they had the first overall pick.
Agreed. But we thought that they would get better with DeAndre Ayton.
For sure.
And just reading the local stories about DeAndre Ayton, while his numbers look good.
What, about 16 points a game?
Yeah, 16, 10, something like that. Right? They look good. The articles are saying, he's just not aggressive. He doesn't dunk enough. Right? He wants to lay the ball in. He's not this aggressive player that we thought we were getting for a number one overall. Yeah, I know he's a center, and the position has been marginalized somewhat in the NBA these days, but he just doesn't have that energy and aggression. And it's I don't know. It's just it feels like they're down on him, and they're living down to the expectations that have been put out there for them.
You know, maybe they don't deserve a team. If this is what the sports writers are writing out there, maybe they don't deserve the basketball team.
It's weird. Like, a team that's on the mid.
His PR is 21, by the way.
I know.
I'm not saying I watch him every night. I watch highlights. I don't play see him night to night. But 16 points, 10 rebounds, and a PER 21 as a 20-year-old rookie with kids around you, that's pretty good.
But I'm saying the narrative is not that.
Yeah. No, I know. I did not know that until you actually said that.
It's kind of odd. I don't know. And so,
hold on. What does this say? Read that.
Fantasy Spencer Ware?
Question mark. Yeah, I got to keep snoozing so I don't forget.
He's done.
Because I'm frantically hitting refresh like many people.
Likely out. Not official.
Okay, but that's likely until out. It's official. There's money on the table.
Even if he is. I mean, he's banged up. Are you going to play Spencer Ware?
I don't have Spencer Ware. I have Damian Williams. So I'm going to play Damian Williams anyway, 99% in all probability. But I'm not alone on this because a lot of us that had Kareem Hunt that are among the final four teams in the league right now, which is where you are in fantasy, trying to win money.
Yep, playoff, second round.
Yeah.
You had a bye week.
I had a bye. If Spencer Ware doesn't play tonight, and he won't, I don't think, then I'm obviously going to play Damian Williams. But the other aspect is because Kareem Hunt, his situation, I was just picking up running backs. So I also picked up Jalen Samuels when James Conner got hurt.
Yep.
I also picked up Derrick Henry after what he did last week against the Jaguars. Then he's playing the Giants' run defense this week, which is among the worst in football.
You're right.
I don't know who the hell will play. And this is defining my season.
Is that Giants game home, or is it?
It's in New Jersey. It's at MetLife. It's at, you know, Odell's probably not playing that quad, which is another problem for fantasy owners. Odell's banged up. Yeah. He might not play in that flex position.
God, you're lucky if you have Saquon.
I'm going against Saquon.
Oh, dude.
I'm going against Saquon. My boy Pete, I'm going against Saquon. So, Mike, you get some info on Damien Williams, or more actually Spencer Ware. Please let me know, because I need to adjust Brooklyn's finest lineup here. I want to win some money.
Anyway, I was just confounded. We're talking about the Phoenix Suns potentially moving. Well, let's look at the Suns. They're just not very good right now.
It's an odd story.
It's an odd
I really
odd,
thought they were a
story.
Team that was that would show some real tangible, incremental, encouraging, positive steps forward.
Yep.
And they have not. They've been terrible. Yep. Worst team in the NBA right now.
You're right.
Okay.
By far.
By far. This is an interesting story. We'll mix up the segment a little bit. By the way, coming up next, Rod Woodson, Hall of Famer. Of course, Rod, great defensive back. And then after, we rarely do interviews back-to-back, but Rod's a Hall of Famer, great interview as well. And C.J. McCollum, we had a chance to get him on from Portland, so we'll have Rod and then C.J. back-to-back as we wrap up the show. So we got a couple things we can get to here. Obviously, we'll give you a prediction on the game tonight. But, you know, the NFL special counsel, Todd Jones, came out and had a very interesting take on why the league won't pay for videos in the investigations. And he was asked about this at the owners' meetings in Dallas, and obviously this was based on TMZ's ability to get whatever they seemingly want, whether it's Ray Rice, whether it's Kareem Hunt. And here's his quote, and I agree with him in large part, but I am confused because I believe there's a contradiction here.
Go ahead.
And I want you to help me with this. He says, quote, "There's information out there that in this surveillance society, we can get when we need it, and when we get it, we act on it."
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't.
I agree.
Okay, so multiple times.
Yes.
Number one, I don't agree with that statement. I do agree, and it's too retail, so I'll paraphrase. He basically says, you know, in this world of phones and where everybody's got the ability to, in essence, blackmail us or, you know, try to become a mercenary and you know, you're at a bar and some player does something, whatever.
Right.
Are they going to establish a precedent
of
beginning to pay? I agree.
Absolutely can't.
I agree.
That.
It's the smart position.
Yeah.
But it's tough to say that when everybody else has it or TMZ has it and you can't run your own league.
Well, the problem becomes when stories like this one with Kareem Hunt get out of their control and they're basically blind. Kind of in this case, literally blind, because they couldn't see it. The only thing they could do was take Kareem Hunt's or whoever reported its word on it. But
they wouldn't be blind if they paid for it.
I agree.
That's it's complicated.
But think about how this all kind of played out. Other than the complainant, like the victim, this female victim in this Kareem Hunt incident, nobody else was screaming loudly that he had done anything bad. Even the local police didn't look at the video because it was a misdemeanor. It wasn't a criminal act. And so where are you getting information if you're the National Football League? And who's to say that it's just a waste of our time and our resources to go track down, you know, some random small incident that happened with Kareem Hunt in a hotel. Or I guess it was in his apartment building, whatever it was, wherever it was. Right? If you had to do that for every single instance of someone saying XYZ football player – you know, did something bad to me, go check it out. It would exhaust their resources. You know, we have a cell phone video. Okay, but how much are you going to pay me for it?
Yeah.
It would exhaust their resources. So their stance is right. The problem is the NFL is in a position right now to have to just hope and pray that these incidents aren't bad. And that's not a good way to – that's why they're always reactionary. That's why it's always – oh, at the last minute, we got to figure out how to, you know, put him on a commissioner's exempt list and then, you know, put him in, he's going to get a 6-game suspension and then we're going to investigate. I think there's too much stuff out there of guys trying to get got by people, whether it's some dude instigating a fight in a bar or, you know, some accusation with someone of the opposite sex.
Yeah,
it happens all the time.
Yep.
Most of them are nonsense, but a lot of them aren't.
Yeah. It's tricky because, let's face it, Pete Rozelle never had to deal with this. He didn't. And I mean, you know, we could talk about how much Roger Goodell's messed up, and mm-hmm. I'm not here to apologize for his missteps, because there's a litany of mistakes that he's made that are so confounding, and there's an arrogance that's frustrating that most of us feel. It's confounding. But, you know, former commissioners never had to deal with this merging of society.
Yeah.
This
visual merging of society.
That's the term. This gotcha aspect of society.
It's true.
It's tricky to navigate in real time. You're going to make mistakes. Now, his problem is he keeps making them.
I know.
I mean, that's his real problem.
He's just always on the wrong side of it. Always. Yeah. No matter what you do, no matter what he does, he's wrong. And that's why when we talked about this last week, BT, they got to start a committee. Or maybe it was yesterday or 2 days ago. They got to start some sort of committee that's independent but not independent of him.
Who would you want on that? Just to reiterate, how would you comprise it?
It's got to be. There's got to be some former player. There's got to be some law enforcement. There's got to be an executive. There's got to be a psychologist, because all teams, I don't know if all teams do, but I know the Giants did. We had a team psychologist. So you got to have all of these, this diverse group of people who interact with athletes, what their needs are, with professional athletes, professional football players' needs are,
mm-hmm.
and embed that into the NFL, and then form a committee that investigates these things when they should come up. The other side of this, BT, that was brought up when asked, is that the commissioner at the winter meetings basically said it's morally wrong to go, you know, track down these videos. And I kind of hear what he's saying, but I also don't understand what he's saying.
Go ahead, and I'll listen.
So TMZ, I mean, if it's there, they're going to get it,
mm-hmm.
right? They have the resources to pay for it. But the NFL is kind of speaking the opposite of that, saying it's morally wrong to pay for this type of information, even though paying for that information saves them ultimately perceptually.
Mm-hmm.
So what's
and monetarily probably as well.
Without a doubt,
because perception goes the wrong way, you lose money.
No doubt. So at the end of the day, crossing that moral line, which I'm sure that's the wrong word, but that's the one he chose.
Mm-hmm.
It's crossing that moral line is probably worth it in the long run.
It's a great point, Tiki.
Right?
Yeah. That's a great point.
Especially because who's the NFL beholden to? The fans. Mm-hmm. Right? This is not, they're not a public entity. Mm-hmm. They're not traded on the New York Stock Exchange where if there's bad news that the stock has fallen, you know, 80% because how bad the NFL percent. It does not that. Like they're their own entity, man. They're shielded. And they have control. They should have control, or should want to have control over their messages. And that's the messages that they put out, and also the messages of their players. So call it morally wrong to pay for these things if you want to, but you're a $14 billion growing dollar industry. You better cross that line if it's going to affect your bottom line.
I think in a lot of ways, the way he frames it, all right, we get the break here because I got to make sure I got to see what's going on with this waiver wire here. In a lot of ways, the way he frames it is an antiquated position.
Yes.
Because sadly, you almost have to be morally corrupt these days for self-preservation purposes,
yeah.
At least pertaining to buying this stuff. I don't mean other aspects of life, morally corrupt void of morality.
Sam, you keep whispering at me. What do you mean the legal? It's legally.
Well, we're talking about the First Amendment
journalists? Yeah, so this is the thing. TMZ has a little level of leeway that the NFL doesn't have.
Why?
Because they're protected by First Amendment rights at being journalists and being seekers of information and news.
Okay.
So they're allowed, maybe with a slap on the wrist or maybe with a little look the other way, they're getting a little bit more leeway when it comes to, when I say morally questionable and what the NFL means by morally questionable, it's these are things that are kind of iffy because you might be breaking some company's policies, you might be breaking certain kinds of workaround laws that TMZ and other journalists and other outlets are protected by the First Amendment rights that the NFL might not be. So the NFL might be opening itself up to legal ramifications if they pay for certain videos.
Here's the problem.
That a company says, our policy says we can't give this video out, you pay for it and get it.
Here's why I challenge you on this. Because TMZ legally can, not legally, but whatever, they acquire these things for the purpose of distributing. The NFL, I am positive, almost 1,000%, even though you can't be, I'll say 100% positive. If the NFL acquired these videos, they're not distributing it, right? They're using it for information gathering. They're not going to say, we're going to put this on NFL.com and embarrass one of our
NFL
players.
NFL films.
Exactly. It's different. It's completely different. I hear what you're saying, Samther, but I think you're wrong.
No, but I think this is what the NFL is arguing in their statements.
Yeah, they're trying to cover their asses for being caught with their pants down again with one of these issues that's plainly and unfortunately painfully egregious and bad, right? It's pay for it. Don't bury it, but use it to take care of, you know, your guys or reprimand your guys. Right, that's what it comes down to. Perceptually, we're going to keep falling into the same cycle of bad press because they don't want to spend $1,000 to get a video.
But then, if they do, it opens up the about where's the limits? Where do you stop? And then, if you do stop, and it's somebody at a bar that has something that's actually real. And you determined, hey, I bought this for $40,000 because it was in a hotel lobby, but this was at a bar that we didn't deemed, you know, something we really. It's a dilemma. I don't think there's an easy answer here.
You're right.
All right, good discussion, guys. Good stuff. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer Rod Woodson, former Steeler, former Raven. All right, former Raider. All three of his former played a year for the Niners. That doesn't count. They didn't do anything there. But the three teams. Three issues. What's up with Big Ben and Tomlin for the Steelers? Lamar Jackson, Joe Flacco, his thoughts on that. And as a former Raider, are they playing their final game in Oakland this Christmas Eve on December 24? We'll get to that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you're on the field, it's about the right timing, knowing when to plan the play and knowing when to make the play. It's what all the great coaches who know how to get what they want are doing on the sidelines, making a plan and executing it when the time is right. O'Reilly Auto Parts has a similar philosophy. When you need a part, but you're not in position to go pick it up, you can just order the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. Then pick them up at any of their 5,000 stores nationwide when you're ready to go. No shipping costs, returns are always easy, and you can pick them up when it's convenient for you. It's easy, and you know that what you want will be there, so it saves you time in the store. The shopping game begins when you say it begins and ends when you get what you want at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's like you've won before you even head out the door. Make the smart play. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. Better parts, better prices, every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. All right. Great Thursday. Great topics. Terrific show. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. Tiki, we're joined by football royalty, a guy that you know about. Played him in the Super Bowl back in the day. Hall of Famer, 10 years with the Steelers, 4 years with the Ravens, a couple of good years with the Raiders as well, a year with the Niners, and really three of his four teams are in the news for a lot of different reasons. So we have a perfect time to chat with the great Rod Woodson. Rod, Tiki, and Tierney, welcome back, buddy. How you been?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. So obviously the Steelers, where you spent the meat of your career, a lot of people weighing in. Maybe it's time for Tomlin to go. Maybe it's getting stale. Steelers don't just get rid of coaches, so it's got to really go sideways for that to happen, which it hasn't. I don't think that. Neither does Tiki. No. They got to fix a few things. Where do you stand on the whole Tomlin, Big Ben dynamic? Big picture, is Tomlin still the guy for you in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I'm a Mike Tomlin fan. I think offensively they're still scoring points. It's their defense. It's been the question mark of the last couple of years. And I go back to the San Diego game, and they played the Chargers. The L.A. Chargers, and I keep saying San Diego.
Yeah, I do the
but
same thing.
But the L.A.
Thing,
Chargers, going back to that game, and they kept Keenan Allen at number three, and, you know, the Steelers never made an adjustment. Our linebackers, for the most part, were just on Keenan Allen, and Keenan Allen was abusing linebackers and not making an adjustment at all throughout the whole game. It then became a critical third and four to you must stop to get the ball back so you can go down the field. And again, you had the linebacker on Keenan Allen in a zone. You know, those type of things can't occur on a consistent basis. And that's what I've been seeing throughout this year. No adjustments throughout the game on the defensive side of when offenses are doing certain things to you that you have nothing to go to. That has to change. But I'm like I said, I'm a Mike Tomlin fan. I think they made a wise decision when they hired him years ago.
Yeah.
I think it'd be crazy if they let him go at this point. I don't think they're going to bring in a better coach than Mike Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
They just got to correct the defensive side of it.
Okay, right. Listen, I agree with you in large part. I think certainly Tomlin's much more of an asset than he's a detriment. But I do find it interesting that for somebody who has a defensive background, the thing that plagues the team again is defense.
Yeah, he's a Tampa 2 guy. You know, and the one thing you've seen more of this year than you've never seen the Steelers ever play Tampa 2. They played a different cover 2, what we call either kind of like 2 wild, or we play 2 buster or 52 buster, which is a little different than Tampa 2. But they're more suited to play the Tampa 2. They play 2 man or cover 5, as people can call it. They've done that more this year than they've ever done in the last 10 years with the Steelers, or last 20 years with the Steelers. So he's put in some of his, you know, some of his ideas behind it. But it's Keith that has to make those adjustments. He is the defensive coordinator. Keith is Mike Tomlin's hire.
Yeah.
Keith and Mike go way back. Keith was the defensive coordinator in waiting while Dick LeBeau was there. And as soon as Dick had a bad year as a defensive coordinator, or at least his defense had a bad year, they got rid of him and they promoted Keith. And, you know, statistically, they're not too bad. But when you watch them play on a consistent basis and you watch them play in the postseason, the defense never shows up.
Yeah, you're
right. And that's been the weak link over the last several years for the Pittsburgh Steelers, is their defense hasn't shown up.
Yeah, unfortunately for them and the division mate, the Baltimore Ravens haven't had a bad defense. And this is the team that, obviously, you beat me in the Super Bowl in 2000. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you, Rod. But the Ravens are another interesting team, because it felt like they were out of it. Joe Flacco wasn't playing great. He gets hurt serendipitously. You got to put in Lamar Jackson. Their running game starts exploding. Their defense starts holding its own. Their loss to the Kansas City Chiefs last week notwithstanding. This team has been pretty awesome. Do you like how this team is, significantly old school? They're never going to be a threat to throw for 350 or 450 yards. But can you win this way in the NFL in 2018?
Well, I think, first of all, Lamar, since he's been – the starting quarterback. I mean, they've, outside of last week, I think last week they only rushed for 198 yards. They didn't rush for over 200 yards.
Yeah, right.
But the previous 3 weeks before that, they rushed for over 200 yards on everybody.
Yeah.
And that's unheard of in the National Football League today on a consistent basis. And the defense has always been solid. You know, since after I got there, probably 3 years later, defense, we kind of turned a corner, and we had a really good defense then. And they've really kept that up, no matter who's the defense coordinator. We still got some leaders. T. Sizzle's still there, so he still has that old-school mentality behind it. They still can run the football. And I know the new rules are set up for the offense. It's a lot of passing, a lot of points. Quarterbacks are overprotected in the pocket, out of the pocket. Receivers are protected everywhere on the football field. You know, they got to catch the ball. They got to look you in the eye. You got to shake hands, and then you can tackle them. I think this team can win the way they are. And
yeah.
I think they might win the North, because the Steelers got New England this week.
Mm-hmm.
They got the Saints next week.
Yeah.
And then they finish up – I can't remember who they finish up.
Bengals. With. Bengals.
They finish up with the Bengals, which is – that's not a gimme either now.
No.
And, if they lose two of those games, and you look at Baltimore, they play the Bucs. All right. They got a tough one on the Chargers on the road. And then they come back to the Browns, which is a better football team, but that's a winnable game. If they win 2 out of 1 – and the Steelers lose go 1-2, the Ravens are winning the division.
Yeah.
And the Steelers are completely out of it.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Right. That's crazy.
It's amazing. Wow. That would represent just a monster implosion. It's Rod Woodson, of course, Hall of Famer, back in 2009, elected Super Bowl 35 champ, and one of the great D-backs, multiple positions of all time. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So we hit the Steelers, we hit the Ravens. Let's touch on the Raiders now. A couple of years there you spent, and I know you're still very involved with them. We had Amy Trask on the show yesterday, who you know well and is as good as it gets. And the one thing we talked about, Rod, is based on the lawsuit, the uncertainty now, it seems pretty untenable. You might have to treat the Christmas Eve game against the Broncos as the final home Raiders game, because it doesn't seem like they're going to play in Oakland in 2019. What do you think happens?
I Not after the city sues you.
Exactly. So what do you do if you're the Raiders?
Back into their stadium. You know, it's kind of sad. You know, I don't think anybody wanted to leave, at least from my knowledge of understanding what the front office and Mark and those guys, they didn't want to leave Oakland. They wanted some type of subsidiaries to have something, some, you know, incentive to help stay.
Yeah.
And you got to go back to the other sports in Oakland first. You know, the Oakland A's, they tried to move several years ago. They were denied by Major League. Well, they weren't denied by Major League Baseball. They were denied by the Giants because the Giants, the area they wanted to move to was the Giants' location.
San Jose.
Territory.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, you got to remember that Warriors are leaving.
Yep.
You know, so it's something. It's not just the Raiders now.
Yeah.
It's something that's going on politically with the mayor and everybody in the politics side of it. There's something with the teams. Everybody's tried to leave.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Warriors are leaving. The Raiders are leaving. And you have to remember, the Oakland A's tried to leave.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't blame the Raiders. I feel for the Raider fans because, you know, I've been a Raider fan since I've been 9 years old.
Yeah.
But it's sad to see that stadium and the employment that he had, not just with the Raiders, but with the Golden State Warriors, that's going to be gone.
Yeah.
And that money's going to be gone from the city. And you take things for granted so often and until it's gone. And I think they're going to regret this.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Rod, the Pro Football Hall of Fame hosted an event today and it announced a unique all-star game, high school all-star game, where 75 of the top players are going to play in Mexico City on December 22nd. You're going to be the host. This is pretty cool for these kids to get an international trip and go play an all-star game. Tell us a little bit more about it. It's sponsored by Zenith, I believe.
It's the Zenith is the main sponsor. And it's really kind of based off of, you know, there's a lot of All-American, you know, All-Star games.
Yeah.
You know, Under Armour has one. Nike has one. Everybody has one. But I think this is different because it's in correlation with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So it's a Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame Academy. We do youth camps all across the U.S. We also do youth camps all across Mexico and all across Europe. And what we did is that we started saying, you know, there's a lot of talent around here, not let alone U.S. talent. So we said, you know, let's put an All-American every year, and this is going to be our first year doing it. So we got 70 players from the U.S. We included four native-born Mexicans on the team, and we put four native or Europeans, I think, on one kid from Canada on the team. They're going to all come together to Mexico. They're going to get down to Mexico. Remember, they now have an early signing day, and they're going to do that on. They're going to get there on Tuesday. We're going to do that on Wednesday, the early signing day. So the guys can announce who they're going to, what school they're going to go to and represent for the next 4 years in their careers.
Wow.
But you know, on Saturday they're going to come together and play, and it's going to be great to see these kids play in another country. You know, most of these kids probably never been out of the country,
yeah,
so they're
going
to get to see something that's a little bit different. But it's going to be fun. And, you know, anytime you get competitors, it doesn't matter the age.
Yeah, you're right.
When you get competitors in front of each other, they're going to try to compete, man.
Exactly.
And it's going to be fun to watch these kids just go at it and have fun with it, experience something that they've never experienced before. And then, you know, in a couple months, they'll be going on to college and representing universities across the United States.
Yep, and they'll have a story to tell.
Pretty awesome initiative. 17 amazing seasons. Super Bowl champ, Hall of Famer, Rod Woodson in the house. Thanks a lot, Rod. Appreciate it, buddy.
I appreciate you guys.
Be good, Rod. Take care, man.
2 years, maybe AJ's playing down in Mexico City.
Maybe.
You never know. Never know. After that performance for Greenwich.
Yeah, he's got to follow it up, though.
I hear you, man. Now they're really going to vote. Now he's going to get double teamed.
Exactly.
All right, let's get a timeout. We got Axe update. Then we've got CJ McCollum of the Portland Trailblazers. Interesting guy. Heck of a player. Smart dude. Fun guy. He's up next after Rack. Here's Rich.
Hey, guys, looking for a podcast? Check out mine, the Tiki Barber Podcast, presented by Geico. Great news. It's a quick way that you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes, and you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
All right, Tiki, sounds good, buddy, as we start to wind it down, wrap it up. Very good Thursday show here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 across the country. Tomorrow we got Football Friday. And what are those wacky weekends? Now we get into Saturday night football, a couple of the games on Saturday, kind of things change a little bit. Final Thursday night game tonight. But we always squeeze in some hoops. Obviously talked about the Raptors and the Warriors game last night. Get a chance to talk with one of the terrific guards in the NBA. Came out of Lehigh from the Lehigh Valley. Great academic school, Patriot League. And he's gotten everything he's gotten, he's earned. He has climbed his way to a position where he is known now as a star around the NBA. C.J. McCollum is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. C.J., what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How you guys doing?
Yeah, good. Good to have you on the show. Yeah. Everything's okay.
It's been a while since we chatted with you guys. We know you guys have been through a rough 15 or so games over the last a few weeks here. But how do you guys flip this? The season started so impressively, 10-3, I believe it was. Now you're sitting at 15-13. How do you turn the momentum back in your favor? I know it's hard in a long NBA season, but what's ailing you?
Yeah, I think we just got to get back to the basics. I think we dropped a tough one last night against the Grizzlies, but offensively we didn't produce the way we're normally accustomed to. But defensively, that's one of the things you can control is your effort, not giving up second-chance opportunities, getting back in transition. So I think the last two games we've defended a lot better, only giving up about 92, 93 points last night. So defensively, we got to step it up and really take advantage of this home game tomorrow.
Yeah, you need guys to knock down shots like you. You scored 40 last night, obviously, in the losing effort. And you talk about those Raptors. We just were talking about them at the beginning of our show, how good they're playing and what a difference Kawhi has made, even though he didn't even play in their win over the Golden State Warriors. But confidence means so much, and you know, momentum and belief. You guys feel like you can get that back?
Absolutely. It's a long season. There's ebbs and flows going through 7 months, 82 games. It's going to be great nights. It's going to be terrible nights. It's
yeah.
It's about weathering the storm and staying even keel. And I think that we've done a pretty good job of that, not getting too high from great games, not getting too low from poor performance. So it's just about turning the corner now. We're a little over a quarter way through the season, not even at the halfway point yet, so there's no need to panic. But in the Western Conference, it's tough, so you have to make sure you take advantage of as many games as possible.
Yeah. I'm sorry. So yeah, no, it's certainly tough for the West, but it's tough in a different way. It's not shaping up the way many of us thought. Granted, mm-hmm. it's still relatively early. It's not even Christmas yet, when a lot of people kind of say the NBA really takes off. But the Nuggets at the top seed, the Rockets aren't a playoff team right now. LeBron's obviously doing his thing with the Lakers. It's really a year of transition. And I guess big picture, around the league, and I guess specific to you and your team, because it feels like to us, the Warriors, there's a vulnerability there. I mean, when you take the court against the Warriors, does it seem different than it did a year or two ago?
I mean, they're still good. They have all-star quality players, MVP candidates, multiple MVP candidates. So they're still a very good team. I think they're just figuring some stuff out, having battled injuries throughout the season, getting that continuity back, understanding where everybody's going to be at. I think it takes time, and they're going through an adjustment period that a lot of teams go through. You know, every team in the NBA battles injuries. Look at the Nuggets. Half their starting roster is hurt, mm-hmm. and they're still first in the West right now. So it's just about adjusting, and then they'll have another adjustment period once Boogie comes back. But at the end of the day, they're still the Warriors. They're still a very good team. They play well at home. They still have Steph. They still have KD, Clay, Draymond, and they're battle-tested. So I'm sure they'll figure out ways to win games when they need to.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and I think you guys will as well. But interesting question to ask you, because we've had this conversation about Jimmy Butler, not the drama that's been as of late, but really his rise from obscurity when he got drafted to the star that he is now. You've kind of been on a similar path. As BT mentioned, coming out of Lehigh, not a lot of people knew who you are, but you've risen to this star. We know that the NBA is a star-driven league. It's all we want to talk about. Star. This guy's a, you know, all-stars. He's going to be a branding and all these other things. How was that process for you? Because it wasn't foregone. It wasn't, you know what I mean? So how did you pull through this to get to this point in your career where you're viewed as one of the top guards in the NBA?
It was a unique process, very challenging. I went through a lot of stuff physically and mentally, going through injuries, you know, going through self-doubt, you know, trying to figure out how to recover from certain things and just trying to figure out where I belonged and where I fit in at. But I had strong faith. I had a strong supporting system around me, a good family, and I just worked. That's one of the things I've always done is put the work in, put the time in, and try to take advantage of opportunities when they presented themselves. And although I didn't start off, you know, lighting the world on fire and winning rookie of the year and things of that nature, I slowly learned, you know, what it takes to play in the NBA, what it's like to be a bench player, what it's like to go to the arena and not play.
Yeah.
And I used that as motivation. Those things kind of drove me throughout the season, throughout my career, so that when I did get my opportunity, you know, I was ready to take full advantage of it.
We're talking to C.J. McCollum, 22 a game, Portland Trail Blazers. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. You know, C.J., you heard Tiki reference Lehigh. My first radio job was in Allentown, Pennsylvania, so I know Lehigh and I know Lafayette and Stabler Arena. I happen to know that conference very well, Bucknell and Colgate, Lafayette, all those great teams, West Point. But take us back there, because not every NBA player goes to a factory like Kentucky or Duke or Kansas or Arizona or Michigan State. And I'm curious, like, in your most honest answer, like, when did you actually not think about the NBA, not dream about the NBA, but actually say to yourself, man, I think I can really truly play in the NBA?
I mean, it sounds crazy, but I always believed I was going to the NBA, even when it seemed impossible. I think it's just a mindset of an underdog, and being in Canton, Ohio, being around Eric Snow, being around Costa Kufis, who was my high school teammate, I seen the work ethic and what it took to get to that point, and I matched it. I replicated what they did.
Yeah.
Getting to the gym early, staying late, two-a-days, getting up extra shots. So when I got to Lehigh and I found out no one had ever gone pro from Lehigh before, it wasn't discouraging for me. I looked at it as a challenge.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, there's a reason why no one had done it, and there's a reason why someone has to do it at some point. So why can't it be me? And I just I worked extremely hard. Probably wasn't in the library as much as I should have been on my freshman year, and I paid for it. But
that's all right.
I learned how to balance. Yeah.
It's all right.
Performance.
Yeah.
And I think after we played Kansas in the tournament my freshman year, that's when I knew I could play in the NBA, because they had like 10 NBA players out there, and none of them could guard me, and I was 6'2", 160 pounds. So I felt like if I got stronger and I got bigger and I kind of put things together, that I would have a great chance at making it.
That's cool. Awesome. That's a good story. You partnered with the American Express to highlight the Boys and Girls Club of America. I think the last time I had you on, we talked about this as well. Tell us about this partnership that you guys have going on, because I think it's important, and some of the proceeds will go that people spend on Amex will go to the Boys and Girls Club of America. Tell us a little bit this.
Yeah, I'm very excited to partner with American Express and the Boys and Girls Clubs. Growing up in Canton, Ohio, I spent a lot of time at the Boys and Girls Clubs and really understand the type of impact they can have on kids' lives. So I'm really looking forward to that. We've done a lot of great work. We recently did some work at the Boys and Girls Club here, actually, in Oregon. And you can actually see that on the Instagram channel. And fans can follow the journey and the partnership and all the things that we're doing, not only with the Boys and Girls Clubs in Oregon, but the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. And as you said before, if you use your American Express card on NBAstore.com, 10% of total money spent will be donated to the Boys and Girls Club of America, as long as it happens before Christmas.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to go out there, buy some jerseys, and give back to the community.
Yeah, exactly. You're thinking about buying jerseys, get them before Christmas, give them as gifts. 10% goes back to the Boys and Girls Club. And those jerseys aren't cheap, so that could be a good amount of money. That's a great initiative, CJ.
No, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you guys having me on, man. I got to get me a Tiki Barber jersey.
Oh. I don't think they have them at the NBA store, though.
Get a Tiki Barber Fathead. It's a little cheaper.
Actually, probably not. $80 a Fathead.
No.
Hey, look, CJ, cheap. We know you got to bounce. We got it, too. We only got about a minute here. You guys are hosting Toronto on Friday, so good luck in the game.
You're going to need it.
Yeah, we know.
They're playing well, brother.
But we know this is going to get turned around for you guys. You guys have two good of scorers and shooters, and appreciate you hopping on again, CJ.
No problem at all, man. I appreciate you guys, and we'll try to take care of business tomorrow.
Most certainly.
Great perspective. Great player. Good guy. Thank you, buddy. Happy holidays to you, CJ McCollum. Tomorrow, we're up against it here. Obviously, we'll give you a little prediction on the game tonight. Tomorrow, there's an article that I came across during a break, CBSSports.com. The White Sox are emerging as the
front runner
for Bryce Harper. And I threw that name out there, Duquette. I know they've got money. I know they're aggressive. But I didn't think they'd be the front runner. Man, if Bryce Harper signs with Chicago, not the Cubs, that would be That would be, I mean, the earth would spin a little differently in the baseball world for a couple of hours.
I got to go look at the White Sox a little bit to see if that's just a...
No, they're terrible. Right now, it's their farm system that they're touting.
Yeah.
Which would be interesting. And Bryce is still young enough to maybe... Mm-hmm. Listen, I did a sports bet on this. If I'm Bryce and you want to really take as much money as you can, all right, White Sox, you're desperate. Use the desperation against them. I'll sign for 2 years or even 3 years at 40 or 45 or $50 million a year. Then I'll reevaluate what you guys are and how good those prospects are in a couple of years. I can opt out if I want. And if not, but, you know, it's good. Boy, the White Sox, it seems like it's got a little steam.
That's interesting.
What happens tonight? Go ahead,
I think
real quick.
Chiefs, even though you think the Chargers are supposed to win this game, I think the Chiefs at home are supposed to, and they win this one by a touchdown.
All right. Brooklyn's finest. Is we got a lot of money on the table. Patty Mahomes, Damian Williams. I think the Chargers are going to play well.
Wait, you started Williams?
I did.
Yeah, there you go.
But my heart's on Kansas City. Get me that loot. See you tomorrow, Football Friday.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.